Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 28. I need a couple of men to help me. Mr. Hall, that would be nice. Isaac, thank you, sir. Matthew 28. Everybody's familiar with the text. Nothing surprising, nothing new. Matthew 28. It will also be in the notes, so if you don't want to ruffle through your Bibles, it will be just in the top of the notes. All right, let's stand, please. Matthew 28, we'll read verse 19 and 20 together. I don't know how long ago it was, but I got a little sidetracked on the divorce remarriage issue. By the way, in case you all can't figure this out, I'm not really complicated. If I deal with something that takes a lot of time to deal with, I'm going to pull it aside in Sunday school. It's just that simple. I don't proclaim and say, shut your mouth, sit down. I try to work through things very systematically. That's how my mind works. So we pulled aside and we spent some time. We'll spend at least another one, maybe two or three, on the subject of what happens before marriage. We started a long time ago on evangelism. We talked about pre-evangelism, evangelism. Tonight I will do post-evangelism. In Sunday school, I will start one or two services, Sunday schools, on that which is most important, apologetics. You say, what in the world is apologetics in church? Having answers. Look at me in the eyes. Having answers for people's questions, which is not a suggestion of the Bible, but a requirement for Christians, not pastors. That's part of this whole process. We'll talk about that in Sunday school. I think it'll be helpful. Tonight, we're going to finish up the broad concepts. So the Bible says, the Lord Jesus says, go ye therefore. That's putting the go in the gospel. That's pre-evangelism. So everybody look at me. Real simple. The Bible requires you. Do you know who you are? Do you really know who you are? For you to take the first step to unsaved people. It never requires unsaved people to step to you. And it requires you. It's not a suggestion. I spent 2 or 3 weeks dealing with this. Here's the problem. I had one woman angry as a snake because we don't do this. Can I say this? Visiting a church and watching another church and realizing why the church is in the condition it is in is because the people never even bothered to greet the visitors. So if you're not willing to talk to visitors in this church, what do you do where you work? You understand? The gospel is not something magically that happens. The go in the gospel is go therefore. And that's a command in this text. You have to go to people. You have to build the bridge. You have to make the effort. And me too. All right. Then he goes on to say this. Go ye therefore and teach. You don't have to be able to read that word. It means to make disciples. It's the initial teaching of the gospel. Sharing the gospel so someone becomes a follower of Christ. Go and teach all nations. Then you have the subordinate commands, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then the post-evangelism comes in. So you have go, you have teaching the gospel, making disciples, and then you have teaching. We get didactic from this word, teaching them, those folks who get saved and who follow the Lord in baptism, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. A text we quote here a lot. Most of the sermon will come from this text. And the things, and I don't know a better word, that thou hast heard of me, or from me, but it's a very specific way, among many witnesses, The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 10, same book. But Timothy, thou hast fully known my doctrine, my teaching, my manner of life. By the way, everybody look at me. Here's where we start rubbing the wrong way. People don't just learn what Lake County Baptist teaches. They also learn how we live. They observe that. Teaching happens in many ways. Post-evangelism is this. When folks get saved, join our church, then we start investing in them, teaching them everything the Scripture says. But it all doesn't just come from the pulpit. It comes from every place. Paul says, Timothy, you fully known my teaching, my doctrine, the way I live, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, love, charity, my patience. I don't have that word in Greek, but it's in this here. Persecutions, afflictions, verse 14. But, it's actually in Greek, you have the extremely large personal first-person pronoun. You, Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom, all that Greek will come out in a few minutes, thou hast learned them. Then, of course, chapter 3, verse 15 says this, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. By the way, who did Timothy learn the Holy Scriptures from? Grandma and Mom. Look at me. This isn't about church time. This isn't religion. Here's the thing is, once you get saved, you become part of the Great Commission. Your job is to take the gospel to other people. Do they all get saved today? No, there's lots of pieces to this. The folks that get saved, guess what we do? We all, in various ways, start teaching the things we have learned. We teach them to our kids. We teach them to our grandkids. My wife, constantly teaching to the grandkids. She's 100-fold better than me. 100-fold. I don't know how to talk to a kid until... What is the word that John loves to quote? Variegated nominalism. Is that the word? John likes to quote weird words from books I read. Can I say this to you? We all have a role to play. Tonight, we're going to talk, look up here, post-evangelism. What do we do once a person gets saved? It's real simple. Simple sermon. All right, let's pray and we'll get going. Father, thank you for this time. May this be a helpful night. My desire is to help every person, every mom, every dad, every Christian, know they have a role to play and help them to play that role. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Underneath the verses and the chart, I say discipleship or learning by any other name is still I'm not going to try to use fancy words tonight. About every 5 years in the evangelical world, we come up with a new clever word. Here's the problem. You and I have to take the truths we have learned, look at me, and share them with other people in many ways. We have to do it. I'm going to try to talk about that a little bit tonight. I don't care the language. If you came to someone's house and they said, have a seat on the couch, you'll know what a couch is. If you come to another family's house and they said, have a seat on the sofa. If you went to another house and they said, have a seat on the Davenport. I thought Davenports were in Iowa. I found out some people have a Davenport in their house. There's some people that use the word Ottoman. I've heard people use the word, and I don't even know how to say it, D-I-V-A-N, divan. And then there's my mother's word, of which I think she created it. My mother would talk about the Devonette. Can I say something to you? They all mean? Have a seat over there. Shut up. I don't care what we call this. See, I think we play games, you know, we come up with clever schemes. You have to do this. A church, and I don't mean people here. I mean people every day. You have to reinvest what you've learned. It's what happens after someone gets saved. We all, the church, comes along in various ways and reinvest. So that's what we're going to talk about. What does this look like? It starts with this: learning about some things. I hate, and I was told, never use the word thing in any sermon. It's a terrible word, but we have to actually learn some things. It's learning about some things. So when we're involved in it, we're learning some things. I've been working on a friend, Phil Scott. It's not a secret. It's not a secret when I'm with him. He knows. I've known him since first grade. We haven't had a lot of contact until recently, and we've been going out to eat again. I went out to eat with him this week. He knows. This is his comment about church. He says, "Ralph, my biggest problem with going to church," he says, "I always hated school. And church sounds an awful lot like school to me." Can I tell you something? It is. You do have to learn things. He also said something of which my wife can testify, because she heard him over my Bluetooth in my car. Did you not hear Phil Scott? Phil Scott said, "Ralph, when we were in school," Phil was not a good student. He didn't like school. He said, "When we were in school together, I always knew who I could copy off of." Now, this is going to sound funny to you. I never thought about copying. Copying never kind of was part of my life. Now, you'll have to figure out why I didn't copy off anybody. Phil, what did he say, Jenny? Do you remember? He said the problem was I couldn't read your writing. Can I say something to you, friend? All of us are in this process, and we have to learn about things, and we have to take those things that we have learned and share with others. Look at the text. We'll do this quickly. He says, "But the things," that's what the Greek text says. We could say truths, but it's still things. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine," or the teaching of the apostles. What are the teachings of the apostles? It's called the New Testament. Jude, verse 3. The last line talks about the faith, as the King James translates it beautifully, "the faith which was once delivered to the saints." The Greek says exactly the same thing, but in my way, in a better, stronger way. It says, "the once and for all delivered to the saints faith." It wants us to know that what we teach is simply what was handed down to the very earliest Christians, and they're handing it down and down and down, and we're taking it, we're believing it, and we're passing it on. That's what we do. Let's turn to the next page for time, please. Acts chapter 20 talks about all the counsel of God. Galatians 1:23. When Paul gives his testimony about being a persecutor and finally he gets saved, most people that only knew this, he says, "But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed." He's not talking about one's emotions. It's talking about that body of doctrine, the things they have learned. 2 Timothy 4:3. "But for the time will come when they will not endure," and boy, we're there, "sound doctrine, healthy teaching." So, real quick, what are we talking about? What might this be called, or how might this be described? It is the same things that we have learned. It is, secondly, the faith. You know, the faith which was once delivered to the saints. What we're trying to pass on is the teaching that started in the New Testament. It's not something new. It's the same things we have learned. It's the faith once delivered to the saints. It's the apostolic teaching. It's the whole counsel of God. Got all those? That's what it is. It's the whole counsel of God. It's sound or healthy doctrine. Now, everyone look at me. Let me make it a different way. Everybody knows I like the triangle idea, so I'm going to give you three words. Look at me in the eyes. Every person that comes in here that gets saved or is in the process of getting saved or is interested, there are three things they must learn from you. They must learn the portion at the top called believing. Secondly, in the left corner, they need to learn the concept called, look at me, belonging. One of the problems churches have is children don't think, or young people don't think, I belong there. Friends, we should be a group that's always pulling our people in, because if we believe what we think is true and it's the best way to live and it's the truth, then there's the believing, there's the belonging, and yes, there's the behaving side of this too. We have to live a certain way. And those are the things that we're passing on. Those things we believe, The fact that we belong to something and the fact over here that we behave a certain way. Believing, belonging, behaving. If you like it this way, it's knowing and believing the story. It's praying and singing the story. It's living the story. This is who we are. Number two. Now it gets interesting. Learning from someone. Everyone look at me. Everybody learns the faith from somebody. It's personal. Do you understand? It's personal. Now look at me, please. When I came here 28 years ago, I could already see that this was the typical church where everything dominates from the top. That's not what we're talking about. Everybody learns the faith from someone or someones. Timothy, if you'd have brought Timothy, Timothy, who'd you learn the faith from? Paul? He'd have said, well, it started with grandma. And then it was mom. Yes or no? You see, I think we're really confused about this. We play a game that everything has to come from a certain... No. It's from some... Everything comes from someone. So we're learning about some things. We're learning from someone or probably someones. The Greek in your notes is not an accident. Dada, can you come up here? Bring your notes with you. That way I don't have to run you back and forth. Can you do that? You can bring your Bible. If you don't bring your Bible, Pachunga might open it. Just put it down here and come over here. I want you to look at the first verse. Would you look at it, please? And the things that thou hast heard, the King James says, of me. Pa emu. Everybody look at me. You don't have to read Greek. The first word, right above that, just write the word parallel. Because it is the preposition that does not mean, look here, grab the hymn book. It doesn't mean this. He's here. No. This is this. Look at me. I learned this alongside of this guy. Do you understand the difference? Because if I just learned this, it just becomes, can I say this? It's what some of you do in Sunday school. You hear things, but it doesn't matter anything because you're not listening. Because too much of it is this. Who cares about that? But there's a very different thing here because this is not talking about church. This is talking about coming alongside somebody. And he's not only sharing truths with me, look at me, he's showing me how to live. He's showing me what this means. I am learning alongside somebody. That's a different idea. Look me in the eyes. And it's found in 2 Timothy again. It's a common concept. We don't just learn from somebody like handing it to us. We learn alongside someone. I'll come back to you, Dada. Hold on to that. Okay? 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions. By the way, you learn about that being alongside somebody. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. But continue thou, Timothy, you, Timothy, continue in the things which thou hast learned. So it's about learning about some things from someone, learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom, the King James says, eidos, what's that middle word? Para again. He's saying, knowing of whom you have learned them. But again, it's not saying you've just been handed this. You've been alongside of me. You have watched this. So in your notes, I say this. There is nothing weird here. So I'm not trying to be strange, okay? Nothing weird at all. Para, not just apa. You say, what's that mean? Para means alongside. The other Greek word means from. He's not talking about just handing somebody something. He's talking about, come here. Let's go out to eat. Let's talk about the Christian life. Let's eat some food. Let's talk. You're alongside of me. It's personal. Too much of Christianity becomes, and I see it in people's eyes. I saw it in Sunday school. Anything that's over 1+1, half of the church checks out because it's not their job. Here's the problem. Your job is to teach the faith, all of the faith. No, you don't have to be an academic. You just have to be someone that can come alongside. I want to ask you a question. If you go out with Duncan by himself to lunch, you're going to learn anything. I guarantee you, one thing you're going to learn is how to be respectful to people. How do I know that? I've observed. You're going to watch, look at me. He's not going to say that to you. You're going to observe that he prays before a meal. You're going to observe how he talks to the people that wait on him. Yes or no? That's called learning alongside someone. And by the way, that's Christianity. That's the piece missing. Can I say this? Many of us would like to take to our children and say, here's this giant print King James Bible, and here's what you're supposed to believe. Here, go do it. No, no, no. That's not how Christianity works. Christianity works like this. And he is listening, but he's also watching. Thank you. Have a seat. I'll come back to you. Para means alongside. Apa means from. So, I say in your notes. So, alongside of Paul, not just from Paul. It's alongside of Paul, not just from Paul. Tim, my good friend at Maranatha. Besides that Maranatha, we now know, has totally departed from the faith by allowing you to have a beard at Maranatha. I mean, the world has ended. That is it. It's all over. Next thing I know, you'll be looking like Mike Rock, man. That's not good. Something has happened since COVID. All of our good schools, including Maranatha, by the way, and I'm happy they are, a lot of the students are online. Is that correct? Do you know the problem with being online? The very thing that great teaching is coming alongside. It's a thing that the professor could do with you when you're in class. By the way, Bowder tells me this. He says, I love it because when I teach, there's people from all over the world. He says it's the greatest thing. Fact is, a lot of the times the classes have more people from other countries than they do America. He says the weakness is when the class breaks, used to be I and this guy would go have some coffee. We're not having coffee when you're in Egypt and I'm here. Got me? By the way, no criticism of, by the way, I'm glad we have the technology. But you do realize it loses the alongside part. How much do we learn from somebody by observation? Hold it. Let's go back to Duncan. Thank you, Donna. Just have a seat. I'm going to ask you a question. Without Duncan, I'm not trying to be cruel. I can call Captain Duncan. I'm not trying to give him a specific name. If I'm out with Duncan as a young Christian, I also learn, gentlemen, how to treat women. And he might not ever tell you. You learn from what? Just observing. Yes, Jim? By the way, how do you learn to be a good officer? Usually because you have somebody above you. And he doesn't have to talk to you every day. You observe what he does. By the way, friend, we learn about some things from someone, and it's not teaching only. It's everything. Everything. You hang out with this guy, you're going to learn how to be nice. That's the reason I never hang out with him. You hang out with Louie, you're going to learn about blowing things up, M1 Grands, and I am an American. And by the way, all those things are true. You're going to learn something. By the way, you have to teach, and you teach alongside. Let's go back to this. There's nothing weird. There's no new. We're not starting a new denomination. Para, not just apa. So alongside of Paul, not just from Paul. Next in your, it's classroom and life. If I could say it here, it's public teaching and private. It's both. Or can I say it another way? It's in or at church and at lunch. You learn something from all of that. Everybody look at me. Have you been out to eat with the worst guy in our, not the worst, Louis's the worst, but the second worst, Cliffy? Have you ever been to a meal with Cliff? Raise your hand. Let me ask you, without talking to him, what do you learn about Cliff? I don't care what restaurant he goes to, he's going to know everybody's name. He's going to make connections. I like to watch the guy in action. Now, I'm not as good at him. He's best I've seen at that. Can I say something? Do you learn something? See, we got folks sitting here going, they're learning. They learn if you're a chismosa, a gossip, a critic. They learn a lot of things. You go around Cliff, Cliff is the best role model I have seen in my lifetime outside of Another guy who was just as good was Frank Pasalacqua, for just being good to people that he doesn't have to be good to. By the way, I've never had him sit down and say, let me tell you how, you just observe him. I don't even know how he knows all those names. Let's continue. So it's in church or at church and at lunchtime. It's theory and practice. It's both heard and observed. You both hear it and you observe it. It's both learned, meaning you actually have to learn the ideas, and it's lived. And I think everybody knows this next statement, do you not? Yes or no? I've told Just John, Chris, Christian, I've told him in your presence. You see Christian over here. Just John is one of the best fellows. There's a lot of weird people here. By the way, I pick on Louis. He's weird too. I don't know if Louis likes to fix anything. He likes to take things apart. I remember walking out there one day and there was a lawnmower and there was I didn't even know there was 800 parts to the lawnmower. He had them every place. Here's the secret of teaching. Some of us are didactic teachers. We can sit down and teach through something, but all of us can teach. Here's how you do it. Are you ready? I do. Come over here. Now, hey, look. We are going to do it. And once we do it, by the way, I do it maybe 5 times, and then we do it 5 times, and then guess what? That's how you teach. How do you think people are going to learn? Friends, every Christian has a role to play in post-evangelism. We have a role to play in teaching. So please don't give me any nonsense. It's an embarrassment to be around Christians that sit here and do this. What are you doing that for? You got something to do. Our kids need to learn everything. Everything. And they don't learn everything from just a formal church setting. Much of this is just learned by observation. Watching somebody that is important, how they treat non-important people. And they treat them like they're important. Well, that's how a Christian acts, and it just floats from there. Thank you, Donna. Let's continue, please. The third point is not real heavy. Learning in public. You'll understand why I teach this in a moment. So we're learning about some things. We're learning from someone or someones, and everybody has a role to play. Number three, learning in public. Notice what Paul says, and the things, that's the teaching, the doctrine, the truth, that thou hast heard alongside of me, yes, when Paul's publicly teaching, but yes, when Paul's eating supper, yes, when Paul's discipling somebody, but yes, when Paul's taking a walk. All of that's included. Then he says, among many witnesses, through Paulon Marturon, many people are observing. I think the thing that's missing is sometimes we don't recognize we're supposed to learn things and there's no secret information. I say in your notes, this text is often misquoted, misapplied as teaching one-on-one discipleship only. Let me ask a question. Navigators, anybody in this room know what I'm talking about? I don't even know if they're still an organization. Navigators used to have some good Bible studies, but at the base of the Navigators, two problems. Number one, the Navigators were never about a local church. And number two, one-on-one discipleship. Paul is denying the very thing they quoted. He's saying you didn't learn this in some one-on-one thing. You learned this in a group of people. So when Paul was training Timothy, he was teaching Timothy, but he was teaching groups. When they were walking or going to eat, there was other people involved. It was never something one-on-one necessarily. Nothing wrong with one-on-one, but I don't think it has anything to do with this text. Next page. One-on-one discipleship is certainly fine, but the text focuses on this, local church discipleship. And more importantly than all of that, and this is a very much of an aside, forgive me, that there is no hidden secret doctrine. There is no hidden secret doctrines. Are things that are if you don't want to use the term doctrine, you can use the word truths. Are teachings. I don't care what words you use. Reserved for the enlightened or the initiated. Anything we teach, look at me, ought to be able to be taught in front of everybody at any time. There are many cultic groups in the second century. It was Gnosticism. The Gnostics said one thing in public, but they had their secrets. Christianity has no secrets. What we believe is what we believe, is what we practice, is out in the open, it's never been hidden. And Jesus affirms the same thing. John 18:19. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine, his teaching. Jesus answered and spake, listen, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Paul is simply stating the same thing. There is no secrets here. We don't have the secret stuff for the special group. Nope, it's all the same. It's what we teach everybody. Acts chapter 20 for time. And he says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Paul is now talking to Agrippa, I believe. He says, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. We teach everything publicly, nothing secret, nothing hidden, and it's not one-on-one. It's simply done in many fashions. Number four, learning by many means. How do we learn? Well, some of it can be Galatians chapter 6. Let him that is taught, the catechumen, the person that is being taught, let that person communicate, let him that is taught in the word communicate or share unto him that teacheth in all good things, without debating this. This is talking about question, answer, question, answer, question, answer, which is a form of teaching. That's legitimate. Acts chapter 17, Paul teaches in the synagogue. Paul also goes in the synagogue. He also goes into the agora, the market. That's legitimate. Any kind of teaching, we do it in many forms. Number five, learning to live. Learning to live. My favorite verse, of which I'm not going to focus on, simply says this. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. The most important thing we do, friend, is this. We learn something, it applies to our life. So everybody look at me. What did you learn this morning? What do you do when you don't know what to do? All right, I'm asking you a question. The person that comes to you and they're all, what are you going to say to them? You learned something from the scripture this morning. What are you going to say? And in most people's case, this is what you're going to say. What should you say? I heard a text. Let's look at that passage. By the way, friend, you learn to live what's preached and what's taught. It affects how you live. If you come to me tonight without notes, without footnotes, you say, but you're a teacher. Could you talk to somebody about meditation? Could you tell a person what's the most important time of the day? Which has been taught in this church 50 times. But see, here's our problem. The reason we're not sharing what we have with other people is we're not taking it on to ourselves. Let me just say this. Let's turn your Bible, Psalm 55, verse 17. I think. Psalm 55, verse 17. Learning to live. So we're learning about some things. We're learning from someone. Excuse me. We're learning in public. We're learning by many means, which I'm not really focused on. And by the way, when I say many, many, Awana's great because it has its own format. Sunday school has it. We have a little program for kids if they want to learn to sing on Sunday nights. Lots of different formats. All of that's good. We learn to live. Everybody's fine? Is it Psalm 55, 17? What's the first word? Evening and morning and at what? I preached on this sometime in the last 5 years. Look at me. I can remember as a young man memorizing this. I heard this quoted in a sermon. I memorized it, but I memorized it for the second half. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Yes? But I never understood the first part. It's the secret of meditation. Can I say something? Look at me. If you have a problem with fear, It's the secret to coming in control of the very thing you don't want to control, your heart. When does it begin? The most important time of the day is when you go to sleep. Because you have 8 hours that your mind can just do what? How many people can't rest well because they never learn to take control of their mind and their heart at night? By the way, meditation starts, and it's a Jewish thing. It's a biblical thing. The day begins the night before. The Jewish Sabbath doesn't begin on Saturday. It begins on Friday night. They have the meal on Friday night, which begins the Sabbath. And the Sabbath ends on Saturday night, not Sunday morning. This is just biblical stuff. When are you going to learn this? No, no, when are you going to practice this? So when you go to bed tonight, how's your mind going to be? For the next 50 years until you go to heaven? Or will one day you say, you know, maybe I should do what the Bible says. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. What does it say? Day and night. Well, I'm not a pastor. I never preached a sermon. I just quoted verses. By the way, friend, where do you think people are going to learn that at? In church? They're going to learn it from Christians that say, I learned this, and I want to share this with you because it will be the way you start controlling your heart and your mind, and you quit letting your thoughts just race. You know what I've learned? We have people in our church that regularly have panic attacks, which tells me they have no control of their heart and their mind. Lastly, learning, obviously, for reinvestment. Specifically in others. You learn to live things and you learn to say, man, this is the way to live. And if this is the way to live, guess what? Then this is the way I want others to live. I want to reinvest in them. So you already know this text. Look at the text. The things that thou, Timothy, that's Timothy, hast heard of me, are alongside of me, that's Paul. So, Dada, stand up, grab the book. This guy's name is not Dada, it's now Paul. I'm Timothy. What's he do? He teaches me, yes. What else does he do? He brings me in relationship, and I see him every place he goes, and guess what? I learn from observing. So the things that thou hast heard from me, Timothy, you've heard these things. The same, do what? Commit thou to faithful men. But you don't just leave it there. Who shall be able to teach others also. I don't know how many generations it's been since the first church, but guess what the church's genius is? Right down the chain. It's what we do. I'm going to ask you a question. How many people can walk up and say, that person had an impact in my life? That person came alongside. Look at me. We got young people here. We need folks in every age group that come alongside. You don't have to preach. You don't have to teach. By the way, you don't even have to speak. You learn a lot of things just by observation. How about this? Most, and I don't think this is 100% true, but much stuff is not taught. It's caught. Not everything. You do have to teach the Trinity. But there's a lot of things that just caught in your notes. So there's a me. There's a thou. Me is Paul. Thou is Timothy. There are faithful men, and there's others also. So there is a chain. This ends up leaving us with one question. By the way, this is kind of the conclusion tonight. It leaves us with one question. How will I reinvest? What form will my reinvestment take? And I think that's that simple. Now, friends, we have many forms that it can take. And I'm going to say this. Not everybody's a teacher. Oof. But you know what? I don't know if, I'm going to say his name. He's not here tonight. I don't know if Just John's a teacher, but I do know this. Just John has a gift with these things. What is your gift? What is your ability? You can take a young Christian, Dada, Maya. You can take a young Christian. He never does it. That's the reason I'm using him, right? You can take this guy in 1,000 different formats. Look at me. And you can encourage. You say, Pastor Warren, I have no ability to teach. There are people who should never speak publicly. That's fine. But you don't have to. You say, I don't even have the ability to help a teacher. Okay? How about this? You pay for the books. You come alongside this guy here. He's a young Christian. He doesn't have a good study Bible. You have money. Can I hear something? By the way, just got a letter from Ezra's brother. Starting tomorrow, they're going to have a conference. Those 12 motorbikes that we gave, they're going to pass them out. He was so excited. They're going to help 12 pastors with having transportation in communities. He said, would you like to come to India this December? I'm thinking, I know, but I know somebody who would like to. I'm too old for December too. Can I say something to you, friend? Quit playing around. Here's the three, thank you, there's three broad ways, and I'm not going to fill in the blanks, that you and I can invest. Look at me. Some of us have the ability to directly teach. Some are in the middle. You're not really a teacher, but you can help. Jim, do you ever need helpers in Awana? Do they have to be able to teach? They probably have to be able to listen. And by the way, and live the Christian life and come alongside somebody and say, well, you know, and by the way, all that's important. Can I say something? Men are very important for young men. They need to see a man. And I'm not talking about macho, though that's okay. I'm talking about a man that's a Christian, that lives the Christian life. Yes? So you can either do the teaching, you can do the assisting, and you say, I'm not even good with people. And there are a few people I have met that shouldn't be part of the Awana, okay, on any level. Now you're in the third role. You're just going to come alongside and do what? Support it with finances, pray for it, come do whatever you can to assist. Those three broad categories, we have a job to do. I learn more from the deacon in my home church named Clint Crabtree by observing him than I did from any other person in my home church. And if he was ever my teacher, I don't remember it. His wife was. Did you hear me? I observed Clint Crabtree. So let's ask this question. What are you going to do in the process? What's your part? What's your part? You could teach Sunday school. You say, I can't teach. By the way, maybe you can't. When I came to Lake County 28 years ago, I was under two mistaken beliefs. I was under the mistake that every young person could succeed. That's not true. Many can, but some can't. And number two, I thought anybody could learn to teach. This is what I've learned about that. No, they can't. But anybody can learn to help. Anybody can learn to help. And your help might be direct. It might be indirect. Here's my encouragement. Paul, stand up here. By the way, do you think Paul just taught Timothy? Taught lots of people. By the way, most of them weren't as gifted as Timothy, but he taught Timothy. Can I say this? He taught some Demases too. And he taught, can I say, he taught a lot of normal people like you and me. What did those normal people? They had to learn because they had to watch. They observed, they heard, they saw, they took the truths, they passed it on. You have a job to do. And your job is not to find a comfortable place to be seated. Your job is to be investing. Reinvesting what you have learned. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen.